Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace, your constant care and concern in our lives, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Well, when I was in high school, like many kids that age, I didn't know what I was going to do when I grew up. Like most children, I might have thought, if I grow up, I'm going to be just like my mom or just like my dad. And of course, there are the other standards, like becoming a police officer or a fireman or maybe even a professional athlete of your favorite sport. Or for some, President of the United States. That wasn't my dream. Then we grow up and we see other possible vocations that we could possibly pursue in life, and we understand that because we begin to understand our gifts and our talents, our abilities and our desires, our personalities and our experiences, and we begin to focus down into a career that just seems to be a fit for us. What is oftentimes interesting is we gravitate toward what we experience, Now, between my junior and senior year in high school, my mom suggested that I take a programming class at a community college. What a mistake that was. I have to tell you, there were some struggles. Well, some really big struggles. You see, the professor would begin the class and he would start on some chalkboards on this side of the class. And it's a 3-hour class. And by the time he got halfway done with the class so that we could have a break, he would have moved over to the front chalkboards and then over to this side. And that was just half the class. And I would be tired. My hand would be cramping. My mind would be swimming. And I'm like, what am I doing here? By the halfway point of the summer, I wasn't doing so well. And I'll leave it at that. And so I dropped the class. And with this bad experience, I figured programming is just not for me. Now, when I was getting out of high school, my parents had always spoken to us as if college was just the next step. While in college, I worked as a camp counselor during the summer, and I had great experiences working with other counselors, working with kids. I just really enjoyed it a lot. So I explored becoming a recreation major in college, but soon learned I wasn't cut out for that either. And so that question that we all face about that time in life, what am I going to do with life, continued to appear on my radar. Now, there are some people who are going to gravitate toward maybe like a family business or something, something that mom or dad has started or created, and they're just going to continue on. And there are others of us who are very good with our hands. They're good working with mechanical things, with wood. They're just good that way. And some kids seem to know at an early age what they want to do, and they fly full steam into whatever that career choice is going to be. But for many of us, we're trying one thing and then another just to find out maybe what is the bigger area where we can focus in on before we settle down to some type of long-term career. Now, like I said, I had a bad experience with programming class my senior year in high school, and in my senior year at high school, there was another programming class offered to the seniors, and it just happened to be the same programming language that I really struggled with during the summer. But because of that prior bad experience, I excelled in the high school class while all my friends struggled. This bad experience at the community college was then curtailed by my good experience in high school. And in college, I did end up taking a programming class, and I did really well this time. Well enough that I would graduate with a bachelor's degree in computer science, eventually becoming a programmer and then moving into like a systems analyst position at Ford. I felt that this was where I was supposed to be, what I was designed for. And I would retire from Ford in 30 years. And then I became more interested in the things of God. And as I became more intentional with God through the first few years of my working life, this thought came to my mind. Am I just another rat in the rat race of life? Or is there something else I was created for? You see, in high school, I was just another student, nothing special. And as I began college, I'm just another programmer, or just another student there, nothing special. And then as I began working, I'm just another programmer trying to find a job, nothing special. And even when I was at Ford, I'm just another employee making to look a living to support my family. Nothing special. Haven't you felt that way from time to time? You're working in life and there's nothing special. Haven't you just felt like you were another rat in the race of life? But I was learning from God that this wasn't God's perspective of me. Look at what it says in Psalm 131. Let's go back to it. Read it with me. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. No, God's perspective wasn't the same as my perspective. I wasn't just another rat in the race of life. God isn't rolling off some cosmic assembly line in space people to populate the earth. No, I was learning that God carefully constructs each one of us. And not just a physical body, but with a personality too, with gifts, with abilities. And as I became more interested in the God things of life, more intentional with God, I was discovering I was a special creation, unique from all other people. I'm an identical twin, and I am even unique from my twin brother. And that I was made for a special purpose in this life. I know some pretty crafty people. And when I see them knitting or crocheting or creating a quilt or pottery or whatever it is that they create, they're creating something that will become beautiful, that will become unique. And I'm reminded of God, how God knits us together, a complex being, a beautiful creation, you and me. We're not just rats, but beautiful creations designed for special purposes. But what is that purpose in your life, in our lives? And why is it that some people find their purpose and live lives with joy and peace while others seem to just scrape by? Are we just born to struggle on this rock we call earth for a while and then just die? I think the Bible is clear on why God created us. We are created because God desires to be in a relationship with us, an ongoing and cherished relationship with each one of us. And that relationship begins with Jesus. John, the gospel writer, writes this, read it with me. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God desires you. God desires you to believe and to become not just a part of this created human race. No, to be the special person he created you. God desires you to become his child. To be in a relationship together, to walk together, to talk together, not just for this life, but for all eternity. And he sends his son Jesus on the to the earth to die on a cross that we might have that pathway to God. So if I'm carefully constructed, is there more than just a relationship with God that God seeks? And the answer is yes. There is more than just a relationship. See, God constructs each of us with a purpose in mind. Doesn't that blow you away? I was created for a specific purpose in this life. And for many of us, we understand God's purpose for our lives simply to be, to serve and love other people, to help others find and know God, and to bring glory to God by all of our activities, all of our actions, all of our thoughts. But this is God's general purpose for all who call themselves children of God. You see, Susan struggled with self-esteem issues growing up and into her adult years. Based on magazines she had read as a child and as a young lady, she thought she should have a certain figure, wear certain fashions in order to fit in, to marry the right husband and produce award-winning children who excelled in everything they did. And when it didn't fit into her ideal, her self-esteem would plummet. Her self-worth would take a nosedive. I am just not a good mother. I am not a good wife. I am not a good worker. But you see, her purpose in life had lined up with what some writers and editors said in a magazine when she was little, not the one who created her. She eventually turned to God and sought God's advice through the Bible. Life was never perfect. The road still had bumps in it with her husband, her kids, her jobs, but she had found her worth in Jesus Christ, the one who created her. And as she lived her life in relationship with God, she was better able to manage her life in God's general will. She found peace. She found worth. She found joy. And then as she explored God's specific will for her life, she found more satisfaction in doing what God had created her to do, not what a magazine said she should be like or she should do. So is there a specific will for God in your life? The answer is yes. Absolutely, yes. Yes, there is a more specific will that only you can fulfill for God. Only you can do it in the kingdom of God. Nobody can do it better than you. You see, Dave had a relationship with God for as long as he could remember. He grew up going to church and got away from it in his early adult years. And after marriage, he eventually began to attend church again, maybe going to church a couple times a month, dropping some money in the plate, and occasionally helping out with a project every couple of years at church, even though he was a construction worker. He was a builder, and he was gifted that way. Dave rarely talked with God outside of church unless something was wrong in his life. He rarely read the Bible because it just seemed too confusing. And in his mind, it was good enough to just live by the golden rule, which is, by the way, found in the Bible. Treat others as you want to be treated. A good and noble goal. It was a friend of Dave's at church who helped Dave to discover that God didn't want Dave just to go through the motions, but wanted Dave to use his gifts, his talents that God had given him for God's glory. Not just at construction sites, but at church. Not just at church, but at other people's homes who needed help. And doing that, he found true satisfaction in his life. And then he found more of God. And then as Dave began to understand God's love, deep love for him, Dave began to draw closer to God through a men's study he became a part of. Dave realized his true hope for life and sense of accomplishment rested with God, and that God had real plans for his life, more than just being another rat. So how do you and I, how do we determine what God's specific will is for us, and then to do this in this life and beyond, which is more than just going to church on Sundays, which is more than serving and loving others, which is more than helping others to know the love of God, which is more than bringing glory to God's name. We find the answer in part in this morning's scripture where God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and watch the potter. Well, we'll read that part with me again. And I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. You see, God showed Jeremiah that it is the potter. It is the potter that gives shape to the creation. And God is the ultimate potter, shaping us with certain spiritual gifts, with a heart, with abilities, with personality. And then along with that, gives us experiences which begin to shape us to who God wants us to be. Oh, but you say in your own mind, the problem is I think God cannot use me because I am that marred lump of clay. I'm just not usable. I'm not worthy. I'm not constructed right. I don't have the right talents, the abilities. I don't have a passion. You know what I say to that? It's a technical term. Phooey. Phooey. You see, it says that as he was shaping from the clay, or shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, but the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. See, we have to find out what God wants to do in our lives. We can't say, God, this is what I'm going to do and go do it. And it may be totally different than what God wants you to do. No, God takes each of us in our marred states and he shapes us. He begins to form us, gently putting his hands into our lives, constructing a new and usable person. And as God shapes us, you know what our goal is? Our goal is to remain pliable. Our goal is to remain pliable in God's hands as we move through this life, because our general will never changes, but that specific will may change from time to time as God wants to use us. So, how has God shaped you to fulfill God's purpose in your life? That word shape has five specific characteristics that you each have, that God has molded into your life. He's given you a spiritual gift, which is a set of special abilities, which God gives you to help you to love and serve others. God gives you a heart, not just a beating heart, but a heart. The special passions that God has given you so that you can glorify Him on earth. Passions. What makes your heart beat? Abilities. Abilities are a set of talents that God has given, that God gave you when you were born, which He also wants you to use to make an impact on others for Him. Like a construction worker could use his abilities. Personality, that's that special way that God has wired you to navigate life and fulfill your unique kingdom purpose. Man, when we are born, we all have personalities, don't we? Experiences. Those part of your past, both positive and painful, which God intends to use in great ways. And so over the next 5 weeks, I challenge you to determine or validate your shape that God has given you so that you can grow closer to God and begin to find real purpose and meaning in your life. We'll begin opening these five gifts that are up on the altar. We're going to start opening those five gifts over the next 5 weeks to see how God will show you just how special you really are, how special God created you to be. And next week I'll give you an inventory, a set of questions to determine what is my spiritual gift, that special ability that God gave to me at birth. What is that spiritual gift? And then we'll go through them. And I promise, Almost sounding like a politician now. Right? I promise. But I do promise that if you will be faithful to the process over the next 5 weeks, you'll find out how God designed you. How God designed you to operate in this life, and thus you'll experience more joy, more peace in this lifetime. Let me leave you with these words from a guy who was as stubborn as a rock. In fact, Peter's name means rock. And when he first met Jesus, he would later pen these words. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. How has God shaped you? You're a piece of precious clay being formed in God's hands. All we have to do is say, God, make me a captive over these next 5 weeks to follow you, to experience more of you, to do an inventory, to look deep within and see what it is that I was created to be. Not to compare yourself with any other piece of clay. That's not our goal. Our goal is to find out how God is shaping you. How God wants to use you right where you are planted. Can we do that? Can you say, God, make me a captive? Let us pray. Almighty God, we do ask that you would make us a captive so that we can be set free to do what you designed us to do. To glorify you using the gifts and talents that you have given us, to love others and to be with others so that you would be glorified, so that the kingdom would come. Lord, use us. Glorify yourself. And God, we thank you and praise you that we are indeed special in your sight. And all God's people said,